God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 6th day of December, 2009, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music this morning is presented by Miss Brenda Waterloo, and our sermon is from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, The Mess or the Master. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Tears are falling, hearts are breaking, how we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting, welcome Holy Child, welcome Holy Child. Hope that you don't mind our manger, how I wish we would have known, but long awaited, holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking, heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Fragile fingers sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorns. And tiny heart whose blood will save us. Unto us is born, unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sin and make us holy, perfect Son of God. Perfect Son of God, welcome to our world.
Well, we're studying the life of Christ. All year long, our theme has been Christ is sufficient. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through the life of Christ. And so we're going to finish December with the life of Christ. Next couple of weeks, I want to look specifically at a family that Jesus had just a lot of dealings with. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You see them throughout the New Testament as a family he really loved. And I thought it'd be neat to kind of study that the next couple of weeks. Take a look at that in our services as we look at the life of Christ. Why don't you stand with me if you would. As we come across one of the first accounts of Jesus with this family, particularly Martha and Mary mentioned here. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, the Bible says this, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Boy, doesn't that relate to a lot of us today? I know as soon as you read that, people start cringing, you know. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Lord, I pray you'd help us as well to learn to choose the good part. That which is the best, Lord, that which elevates itself above that which is what we would call fine, which is nothing wrong with, but Lord, that which is the best for us to do. And Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us, that Lord, each step of the way that we take in our Christian journey would be one that would honor you. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Interesting story here. Simple little story, just four or five verses here, I guess, as you see verse 38 through 42. But let me kind of bring this to where you might be able to understand it. In Jewish custom, as Jesus and the disciples would travel, it was customary that there was this thing called hospitality. Now, we're not preaching primarily on hospitality today. It's a little bit different in our society. But back then, they didn't have McDonald's and Perkins and things like that. So as you're traveling, it's not like you could go down to a restaurant and say, well, let's get something to eat. Basically, you're kind of at the mercy, if you didn't live there, of somebody who was gracious enough to invite you into their home. As a matter of fact, it was custom to always kind of cook some extra, just in case a guest, a traveler, someone were to come by, that you would have something available to them, if you could. And so it wasn't an unusual thing. Now, we don't know all the background here of Martha and Mary, how long at this point they've been following Jesus. But obviously, they've heard of, they've been around him, they knew him. We know later, as we'll study, Jesus was good friends with them. And at this point of this story, Martha does the normal thing a woman would do. She says, hey, it's about time to eat. Why don't you come to our house? Now, you have to understand what's taking place. She's not just inviting Jesus. It's Jesus and the disciples. So whatever disciples were with them, which could be up to 12, are also traveling in this band. And so here it was. She's just not saying Jesus come and eat. It's Jesus and the disciples. And here come a group of 13 people coming into your house. Ladies, how would you love it today if your husband came to you and said, hey, guess what? I just invited 13 people over for dinner. You'd probably give him that smile and say, can I talk to you outside in the trunk? No. You know, I mean, it wouldn't be a happy situation. Why? I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. I mean, what do you mean 13 people? And we'll take it a step further. Back then, no microwaves. Yeah, half of you are dead right there. It's over right now. I mean, you didn't go to the freezer and pull something out and throw it in the microwave and nuke the baby. And 15 minutes later, you got extra. That didn't happen. You didn't open up the oven as well. There's not a conventional oven. Everything was made homemade. When I'm talking from scratch, I'm talking everything was made from scratch. That's just the way it was. It wasn't packaged nice at Walmart or Aldi's or Food Pyramid. I mean, you had to go get it. And if it was a chicken, you killed it. You cut off the head. You caught the body when it stopped running. You know, you did whatever you do to chickens. You plucked the feather. I mean, that's how you cooked. And so a meal, as they're coming over, didn't take like 10 minutes. It took several hours. And the women are getting this stuff together and they're preparing it. And the men are sitting there doing what men always do on Sunday afternoons, watching football. Oh, that was really high tower. I'm sorry. He said that. Yeah. Yeah, they're relaxing. They're just talking. I mean, that's what they do. They're waiting for the meal to take place. Things haven't changed in 2,000 years, have they, ladies? So that's what's happening. The difference is, back then, like I said, several hours. So, I mean, here they are. They're running around. They're gathering the stuff, and they're getting things ready. And, man, they're turning on the water pots, and they're cooking. And they're like, this is going to take some time. And it's not one or two. There's 13 extra guests, plus the family and any other friends. And Martha is like, I can't handle it anymore. And as you look at the story, she looks over there, and her sister, who's supposed to be helping, is sitting at Jesus' feet, just enjoying the conversation. Now, if you have family, you kind of understand how this takes place. I don't know if you remember, but I know when I was growing up, every once in a while, after dinner, Mom and Dad would say, you guys clean up. You know, and Mom and Dad would take off, and I don't know what they did, but it wasn't nice. But they went off to the front room, watched TV, do whatever they were going to do, and we had to clean up. We thought that was unfair, by the way. I want you to know that. But we begin cleaning, and so you get up, you start cleaning. But sure enough, in the midst of cleaning up, somebody wouldn't help. Now, anybody have brothers and sisters that understand what I'm talking about? I mean, you jumped up, you started grabbing the dishes, you started doing it, and you look over there in the corner, and somebody's just sitting there at the table. You know, usually your sister or your brother, and you're like, hey, get up here and help me. And they would say, you're not my boss. And then a little argument would begin to break out. Some of you call it a fight. I'll call it an argument for right now. And you'd be yelling at each other and screaming. And about that time from the front room, you'd hear Dad saying, hey, shut it up. That's enough fighting in there. Just get the job done. And then it wouldn't stop. You just kind of mumbled what you did. You know, so you have this little conflict going. Well, then it just build up so much. You've already been yelled at from Dad. Finally, like, I've had enough. I'm up here. I've got the water ready and I'm washing the dishes and nobody's drying. I'll show you. And you know what you do? You'd go tell Mom and Dad. And you'd walk out there and you'd say, Mom, Dad, Christine's not helping. Now, what you're hoping is Dad would get up, take his belt, and beat the snot out of Christine. I mean, that's what really inside. You just hope she got the worst beating she'd ever received in her life. You know, you thought, if I go tattle, this is exactly what's going to take place. I can see that in Martha. Martha's had enough. She's fed. Now, these are grown women, but she's like, that's it. I've got all these extra guests. I'm doing all the cooking. And she's sitting at Jesus' feet just listening to him talk. We can do that later. She needs to be helping. I imagine she sent sign signals in. Really, you do stuff like that. You know, you're sisters. I don't know what the signals were, and some we might not be able to use today, and we won't. But anyways, whatever the signals were, it was very obvious. Mary, get in here now. I need your help. Maybe she sent a servant in to whisper in her ear, Mary would like to talk to you. You know, all the things you would do, but finally, he's so fed up. I mean, think about this. She goes to Jesus, God, and tattles on her sister Mary. I love that part of Scripture. And she literally does it. She goes, Jesus, Mary won't help. Could you make her? Now, I'm telling you, she did this for one reason. She literally thought Jesus would say, that's right, woman. You know the place of a woman you're supposed to be serving, fixing the meal. Get up and go help your sister. But that's not what happened. As a matter of fact, I think Martha was not only frustrated and overwhelmed. The Bible says she's cumbered and anxious about many things. But then she must have been totally shocked when Jesus looks at her and says, actually, Martha, chill out. Okay, it may be English that I'm using today for our terms, but really, he's saying, hey, guess what? She's not the problem. You're the problem. Wow. Oh, what do you mean? I'm the one cooking the meal. I'm the one doing what every Jewish woman is supposed to be doing. I'm the one working. I'm the problem? Now, she doesn't say that because she's talking to Jesus, but inside the thought's got to be, you've got to be kidding me. And Jesus begins to elaborate. Look what he says there. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. Wow. I mean, you want to talk about ouch. Now, I want to tell you something about this woman, Martha, real quick. I don't think Martha's a bad woman. I'm going to help you real quick. I think Martha's a very good, godly woman. As we study her throughout the Scripture, you don't see any condemnation outside of what you might call this, condemnation on Martha. This is a woman who worked hard. This is a woman who loved God. This is a woman whose house was in order. She was a godly woman. She was a great woman. But she had one problem. She was a worrywart. I mean, she got anxious real quick. She got just kind of upset just real easy. She wanted everything to go a certain way. And if it didn't go a certain way, boy, it got to her real fast. So here you have this hardworking, godly woman. And there's just one negative that's in her life that we know about. This one negative, that's it. She's so caught up with living that she's missing out on life. And I thought about that and I said, you know what? Is it possible for us to be so caught up with living that we're actually missing out on life? Now, I'm not talking about what the world calls life. I'm not talking about blowing your life. And, oh, I think I'll just leave my family and go party hardy, you know, and that'll be life. That's not life. That's called disaster. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about getting so caught up with just daily living, the day-to-day cares of this world, the everything that you have to do. And, you know, like even right now at Christmas time and the holidays, there's even more things shoved on your plate. Besides what you normally do, there's the parties and the events and the decorating and all that other stuff. And she got so caught up with living that I don't think she really got the whole purpose of what life was all about. I want to talk to you this morning about making sure that we don't get so caught up with living, the day-to-day routine, that we actually miss what life. I mean, we're talking about the life God wants us to have. Because when I look at Martha, I see a wonderful woman who is missing the point. You say, how was she missing it? Well, let's take a look at it this morning. There's several thoughts I'd like to give to you this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you along this line. Number one, if you're taking notes, I wrote this out. Don't miss out on what is important because of the mess. Don't miss out on what is important because of the mess. I love, it's an old story I heard a long time ago. A guy was working at a hotel, and there was this young guy that was, you know, clerk at a hotel, and an older guy that worked there as well. And one of the policies of the hotel is if you worked there, you got to eat lunch free. Or dinner, whatever shift you were on. And so that was always, of course, if you work someplace, you get a free meal. That's always a topic of conversation. And so one day they were there working, and finally, as they were talking, the older man was there, and he was upwards. He'd been, 65, 75, somewhere in there, and he had lived a life. And here was this young man in his 20s, and he came in, and when he saw the menu, man, he got mad. I mean, he got upset. Once again, he looked at the menu, and the menu said, you know, dogs and krauts, sauerkraut and hot dogs. And he said, man, that's it. On Monday, we had dogs and krauts. On Tuesday, we had dogs and krauts. On Wednesday, we had dogs and krauts. And on Thursday, now we're having it again. I'm sick and tired of this. And I mean, he just went on a rant and a rave. He was mad. He was upset. I'm tired of eating dogs and krauts. I'm just sick of it. And the old man just sat there, just kind of looked at him. And finally, the old man who'd worked with this young man for a while, he'd had enough as well. He said, listen, just stop it. The young man just kind of looked at him. He said, you got this all mixed up. You see, you don't understand what's taking place. What you have here is an inconvenience. You don't have a problem. You have an inconvenience. You see, an inconvenience is eating hot dogs and sauerkrauts every day. A problem is not eating anything. An inconvenience is coming to the same job and having people around you that maybe have a bad attitude. A problem is not having a job at all. An inconvenience is living in the same home with the same furniture and never being able to upgrade. A problem is not having a home. And he began to explain to this man the difference between an inconvenience and a problem. And every time I think of that story, I think about us and realize this. So often we get so caught up with the mess of this life that we forget a basic principle. So many things that happen to us, folks, don't you realize there's nothing more than an inconvenience? It's not really a problem. We laugh, but most of you probably this morning had some type of inconvenience. You say, how do you know? It's Sunday. Okay, I mean, something went wrong. Now, it doesn't go wrong Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, but you ever notice it goes wrong on Sunday morning? I mean, if the kids can't find socks, it's Sunday morning. If you're going to be running late, oh, it's not a Monday when you got to be at school at 7:30 or 8. It's when you got a whole extra hour and a half, you know. You got to 9:30 to get to church, and you can barely make it. Why? Well, they can't find the clothes. You know, ran out of cereal. Mom burnt breakfast. You know, what? Everybody overslept. Okay, Johnny and Sally start fighting. Mom and Dad start fighting, you know. I mean, it's funny, and it's kind of universal. It always happens on Sunday morning. Why? Satan. We forget there's a Satan. But can I just remind you? What is all that stuff? It's an inconvenience. It's not a problem. It's not a real problem in our life, a lot of things that happen. Some of you are going to get an extra bill this week. You're going to say, preacher, that's a problem. Let me help you. No, it's an inconvenience. You said, why? Well, you're still alive and able to work. You're probably going to be able to work and earn enough money to pay for that bill. An inconvenience would be you can't work at all and you have no way of getting any money at all. That would be a problem. Inconvenience is you got the bill. You see, our life, we get so caught up looking at the mess that we miss everything else. And we get so bogged down, if you could say, with the little bitty problems in our life and all the things that are happening around us and this day-to-day living that we have to do of going to work, going to church, paying the bills, and all those things that are normal, that we start looking at that and we miss the big picture. Let me put it to you in church life. People sometimes come to a place like Central Baptist Church and they miss it. All they see is the mess at Central. There's a mess at Central Baptist Church. They're sitting next to you. Yeah. You say, what do you mean? Oh, you can come to church and just see. I remember going through our building program and, there's always a couple things in a building you'd like to have done different and you don't like. And I remember one person in particular getting so mad, they basically quit coming to church because of something on the building they wanted different. And they missed the whole rest of the building and everybody inside of the building. But because of one item that they don't like the way it looks or the way it is, they're like, I'm not going back to that place. And I remember talking to them, they're like, you're almost blue in your face going, you're kidding me, right? I mean, this is just like a bad day, right? You would actually not go to church because of an item in or on the church building that you don't like. That's right, preacher. I don't think it's right. But what about everybody getting saved? What about everybody getting baptized? What about the lives being changed? What about the word of God? What about all that? Well, that's nice, but. Now, we all look at that and go, that's dumb. And it is. But you see, it's so easy to get caught up with the mess that you miss, really, what life is all about. There's no difference. Somebody at Central Baptist Church one day may make you mad. We believe in what we call family church. You know what that means? You're going to get upset one day. Now, the only way not to get upset being in our church is don't come. Or come so infrequent, nobody knows you. If that's the way you operate, I can help you out. You probably will never get upset. But if you come enough, guess what? We got a mess. You say, what do you mean? We got weird people. Oh, we got them all over the place. We got people that think strange and have different customs and weird philosophies. You know, we got people from the north. We got people from the south. We got people from about every demographic, which is great. We got different nationalities. We've got people from Louisiana. Eat weird food. I didn't even talk to David enough to know what he eats, but I can tell he eats weird food. You know, we got all over the place. You got all these. I'm telling you, folks. If you're just stop and look at this family or that family and you just major on that alone, it'd mess you up. We say, well, what do you do? Folks, we're not here to major on the mess. We're here to major on the master. the fact of the matter, it's not about the messes. It's not about the living. It's about the overall purpose. You want to know what keeps a pastor going? It's not that we look at individual messes. We look at, hey, why are we here? It's about Jesus Christ. And when you keep that in perspective and you really realize I'm coming here to worship God, I'm coming here to learn about God, I'm coming here to praise God, I'm coming here to study about God, and that's your focus. It doesn't matter about the messes because you're here for Jesus Christ. So you got to keep the focus right. But like Martha, so often, we get so bad. Like I said, I love Christmas season. You say, why? Man, there's food you don't get any other time of the year. You ever notice that? It's kind of like Thanksgiving. You know, we never eat turkey except for Thanksgiving. That is the weirdest phenomenon to me. You said, why? I don't know. I just like turkey. But it's like you don't even think about it until about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And then a thought comes in, and really, it's like a happy thought. And my body begins to go, I get turkey. Oh, yeah, it's like going to be roasted turkey, and you're going to like pull it off, and you're going to eat it, and then there's going to be like leftovers. And you get excited. Guess what? You know, you can do that in January, but nobody does. I don't know why. There's just different candies that you only make at Christmas time. You ever notice that? I mean, some of you do Christmas trays, Judy, and you put them together, and you bring them to the pastor, Judy, and you make sure that they're ready. That's good stuff. There's certain pies you only make it. I mean, it's wonderful. And I don't know why that is, but because of that, I get excited. There's like a month of my life that it's good stuff. But I seriously, I'm loving it. I love the music. You know, we only play Christmas music at Christmas. Now, of course, I do sing Feliz Navidad in July, but we'll let that go right now. But anyways, I mean, it's all over the radio and you get Christmas music. I mean, it's a wonderful time of season. Do you know there is more people depressed and messed up right now than any other time of the season? You say, what is it, preacher? They're so seeing the extra mess that's out there. I got to go Christmas shopping. I got to put up the decorations. I got to make the special kind. I got to do this. And instead of enjoying the opportunity that we get to do some things, it becomes a problem. And we get stressed out and we get anxious. And guess what? It ruins everything. And I'm not just talking about this season. For many of you, it happens all year long. Your focus is so negative, and your focus is such on minor things that really don't matter, that you're living, but you don't have a real good life. And even in the midst of Christianity, where you should be enjoying life, you're not enjoying life. Oh, you're living it. Oh, you get up every day, you go to work, you come to church, you read your Bible, you pray. Oh, you're living the Christian life. You maybe even share your faith sometimes, you give to God. I mean, you do all those elements, but you're not enjoying life. Can I just help you real quick? That's not what God had designed for Christianity. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It's not God and it's not his word. It's the fact that like Martha, we're majoring in the wrong areas. Like Martha with Jesus. Now think about this. Jesus is sitting in her living room. Okay. I think about God in the flesh is in her house. If I were to tell you that Jesus was coming to your house today, would that excite you? It ought to. I don't know if I have time for that. I mean, we've got other family coming over. Let me help you. I'm dismissing the rest of the family for Jesus. Amen. If I don't have enough, I'm going, Berlin, I'm sorry you're not eating today. What, you got someone more important? Just a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you would be ecstatic. I mean, if you just found out Jesus was coming to your house, it'd be like, wow, Martha has God in the flesh in her living room, in her presence, and she doesn't see it. All she sees is, I got to make the noodles. I got to cut the chicken. I got to catch the chicken. I got to pluck the chicken. I got to do this. I got to make whatever else goes with chicken. I got to do it all. And she's missing it. I got 12 disciples, men of God. I've got God himself in my house. And I'm worried that the chicken or noodles may not come out just right. Let me tell you what. Somebody's focus is messed up. Let me just help you this season that we all can get messed up real easily. And let me help you. Don't get so caught up with the mess that you really miss what's important. Secondly, I wrote down, don't let the immediate overshadow the most important. As I look at Martha and Mary, if you look down, verse 42, it says, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's interesting to me as you look at the story and the thoughts begin to unravel. And I like to use just a little bit different terminology here to make it a little bit easier, probably more to our day. Martha chose something very good to do. Okay, you have to understand, Jesus is not chiding Martha for cleaning and cooking, okay? She's not. She's not attacking Martha because she was preparing the meal and she was working hard, or because even that she wanted help. Let me just help you with that. So Martha's not being attacked because she asked for help, needed help, or was making a meal. You're missing the point. Martha was being attacked. Why? Not because she was doing something bad. Normally when you come to church and the preacher preaches against what you're doing, we thought, uh-oh, he caught me. I was doing bad, and now I must do good. I mean, really, that's what it's about. I mean, we're always kind of nervous the preacher may hit on something we're doing, and whatever we're doing must be bad, you know, because the preacher's preaching against it, and now we have to do that, which is good. But in this situation, that's not it. She is not physically doing anything wrong. She's doing exactly what a woman in that day and age should be doing. She is preparing the meal, and she's getting it ready, and she's busy doing that. But she's so caught up in the immediate of doing that which is good, I don't miss this, she's missing what is the best or better. You know what I like about this story? It reminds me there's a lot of good things I can get involved in, but they're not always the best. I listed a couple. Get this. I think it's good to feed the poor. Amen? There is nothing wrong. You will never hear me preaching against feeding the poor. If you donate money to help feed the poor, or you go to some soup kitchen and you serve on Christmas or Thanksgiving, I would say, you know what? You did a very good thing. I will never tell you that is wrong. But can I tell you something? Feeding the poor is good. Getting somebody saved is better. In other words, I don't have any problem feeding the poor food, but I'd much rather feed their soul with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we look at this, so often people just get caught up in this area. And they spend their life and their finances and their resources. And they put clothes on kids. And they give food in their belly. And we do that. We have what's called manna feeding centers. Our church sends $800 a month over to Romania so that kids can have food and a place to worship and meet and safety. You say, why? Because we care about that. But I'm going to tell you, if that's all we did, that would be wrong. Oh, it wouldn't be bad. But in the purpose of life, we'd be missing it. You see, when they show up each day and they get the food and they get a warm hug, they also get, guess what? The Word of God. In other words, what? I'm more concerned with their soul than I am with their belly. We feed their belly, so guess what? They can learn about their soul. But without the soul, it's good. It's not a bad thing, but it's not the best. I wrote down this. Working for a living is good. You ought to have a job, by the way. But guess what? Working to build God's kingdom is better. There's nothing wrong with working, but when all our energy is put in just our daily working and nothing to do with God, guess what? We've missed it. We've missed the whole point. How about this? Family time is good. But you know what? Family time in God's house is better. There's a movement today. Well, preacher, I couldn't go to church on Sunday night. We're having family time. Guess what? Have family time with God. I mean, really. Yeah, most family time anyways, you know what it is? We're having family time, preacher. What show's on? We all sit there like this. And the only time we talk is a commercial. Honey, can you get me a drink? We had communication today. You know? And they came with the kids. The only time we talked to the kids is, hey, sit down in front of the TV. Get out of the way. I mean, really, that's not family time. That's what we call it. We're like, well, I can't go to church, can't worship God because we're having family time. Let me tell you, family time is good. You ought to have family time. But guess what? Family time with God is much better. I wrote down this. Joining an organization is good. There's 100 organizations out there. I know you think I'm against anything outside of church. I'm not. Man, you join whatever you want. Seriously, it doesn't matter to me what the organization is. And I can't even think of all of them out there. You know, all the different organizations that are out there, from Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts to sporting events to, you know, whatever else we have in town. Get involved. But guess what? If you join an organization that is good, and you get involved in that, but you're not in a ministry in your local church, guess what? That's a whole lot better. You see, so much time and effort spent in organizations sometimes, and I have no problem with it, but I also wonder, what are you doing in the house of God? Giving. This is a season to give. We get stuff in the mail. I get phone calls all the time to give to this thing and that thing, and I'm going to help you with that. I think those things are good. But you know what happens when I get a phone call and someone says, Brother Waterloo, would you give to this event or this event? And it's a good event, you know, help kids not do drugs. You know, send money overseas so kids can have shoes. Those are good things. But you know what I always say? Man, I think that's a good thing, but I'm actually already giving. Oh, really? Where? In my local church. You said, why? Because the ministries and events that they're involved in have eternal purpose. What are you saying, preacher? Martha wasn't doing bad. Her problem that day was this. It's not that the event she's doing was bad. She missed the best. Sometimes I think when we look at our lives and and we look back and we say, hey, I'm doing something good, and you really are. But my question to you this morning is, are you doing the best? Are you doing what really matters? In other words, you're living, but are you really living the life that God wants you to live? Are you really getting everything out of life that God wants you to get out of life? You're busy in a lot of things that no one could point. Oh, you're not an alcoholic. Man, you're not into drugs. You haven't abandoned your family. And so we can look and say, you're a good person. I would agree. Amen. But God isn't just looking for good. Guess what? He's looking for us to get involved in that which is the best. And that which is to get involved in the best is the things that he's involved in. So when I look at this story, I see Martha. And I see a woman that was doing good but not the best. And then thirdly, I see this. And I like this. I wrote down, mind your own business instead of others. Martha comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, Jesus, Mary's not helping. You know, I love Jesus' response. It's okay. By the way, she's doing good. You're not. And I thought about that. And I said, you know, how often people, especially like a Martha, that are anxious, cumbered about many things, anxious and worried about many things. You ever notice that we're so anxious about not just our things that we start getting anxious about everybody else's things? As you know, probably my favorite story in the Bible is in John chapter 21. I love, regarding this topic, I love the fact that Jesus is walking with Peter and tells Peter, you will be the leader of the church. You will die for me. You're going to lead everybody. You're going to be a great man. And Peter goes, what about him? I love that. I'm thinking, what are you, brain dead? What do you mean? And Jesus, I love this. Jesus looks at him after just explaining to him what his purpose in the church would be and this great man that Peter was going to become. And Peter's worried about John falling behind. And Jesus says this, what does it matter to thee? If he should tarry, in other words, if he never dies, what do you care? In other words, it doesn't matter what I give him to do. I just told you what you're supposed to do. Hey, can I help you real quick? Don't worry about anybody else. The question today is, what are you doing? As soon as you preach a message like this, you know what some of you are doing? I'm going to help you right now. You talk about being anxious, encumbered about many things. Most of you are sitting there going, oh, man, preacher, you're getting her really good. Yeah, all the teens are looking at their mom going, that's my mom. That's my mom. She wants me to clean up my room. She wants me to help with, oh, that's mom. Oh, I hope she listens to this message. All of the other ladies that our moms say, if their mom is here, they're going, that's my mom. Oh, man, my mom's been that way for like 80 years. Yeah, that's my mom. We're thinking about everybody you ever notice except ourselves. Can I help you real quick? When I look at this story, the thing that jumps out to me is, guess what? Mind your own business, not somebody else's. You know whose life you're responsible for? Yours. And it's so easy to point out somebody else what they're doing wrong, what they're messing up. But I don't know about you, but I realize I have a little bit of responsibility in that area because I'm a minister, okay? And God puts that responsibility upon me. But I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't walk around going, I need to fix their lives. I'm not a police officer. Every once in a while, somebody will come to me and go, preacher, do you know what they're doing? I always want to go, no, what? Tell me. I can't wait to hear. I'm like, they'll come to me. I saw so-and-so at the liquor store. Of course, my first thought is, what were you doing in there? But I don't. I'm a nice guy. I go, really? What do you think we ought to do? It's fun. Oh, yeah. No. Guess what? I heard them cuss the other day. No, they cussed. Oh, yeah. They're going to hell. That's it. We're going to write their name out of the book. But they'll bring it to the preacher like, what do you want me to do? You should go do something. You're the preacher. And what would that be? I don't know. Do the preacher thing. Well, I know. We'll get a sermon just for them. We'll get a sermon and we'll call them by name in church. And we'll let everybody know what they're doing. Will that be better? I don't ask that because I'm pretty sure what you'd say. I think I like that, preacher. Yeah, do that. That's good. I'm always reminded of Matthew chapter 7 whenever somebody comes up to me telling on somebody else. You know, what they're doing, preacher, you need to fix. Judge not, lest you be judged. And then it goes on to say, before you pull the little bitty mote out of their eye, make sure the beam's out of your eye. And I look at Martha and I look at Mary and look at the story and it just jumps out to me. Martha's a good woman, but she got caught up with the mess. And the mess caused her to become very critical. Instead of looking at what she should have been doing, she was looking at what everybody else wasn't doing. And her life became in turmoil and all messed up. And she was missing out on the greatest thing that there was. And that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to end with this point because I think it's critical. You know what the whole point really of all that's taking place with Martha and Mary is? The whole point of not just living or living but missing out on life is this. Boy, she's cooking. She's a Jew. She's got the right religion. She's working hard as a woman. She's a faithful woman. She's a godly woman. She's got all these things going for her. But she's missing out on the most important thing. And that is a relationship with the God who's standing in her house. I thought about this. I said, how often do people come to church and they got the right book and they got the right church and they got the right doctrine and then they got the right look. And you go down the list. You start listing all these things. Well, preacher, I've learned how to dress modestly. Praise God. And now I'm reading my Bible. Praise God. And I've learned how to pray. Praise God. I'm even sharing my faith. Praise God. And I'm living the Christian life. But I'm living, but I'm missing out on the real life. What are you talking about, preacher? I don't have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. When I was dating, I ran across this really pretty blonde named Brenda, just in case you were confused. So I was in school, and I actually met Brenda. She was the very first school girl I ever met in school. Her and her best friend came up and introduced themselves to me because I was so short and so young looking that after about 2 months of school, her and her friend wanted to know if I was really in school. It was a wonderful beginning of a relationship. And so they connived together and said, let's just go ask him. So they literally came up to me and said, are you in school? He's just so cute. Needless to say, there wasn't a lasting impression on that day. I remember they walked away and my good friend Don was there. Don came up and goes, hey, who are those girls? I go, I don't know, such and such and Brenda. And he goes, they're cute. Yeah. For a year, I didn't really notice Brenda. Matter of fact, I ignored her for a year after those comments, as a matter of fact. But as fate would have it, she ended up in our church and became the piano player. Well, that's a wonderful thing when she was a piano player. I was able to sit out there in the church and basically stare at her all through the services. And so I developed an attraction for her. And on Sunday nights, all the college students would go out, you know, to eat. And so for a year, we'd all go out to eat at Hardee's. And I mean, there'd be about 8-10 of us. And they're just all friends fellowshipping together. So we would do that. Well, finally, over the course of that time, little heart started getting in tune that, hey, she's cute. I like her. Let's date. And so we began that process of dating. And so I finally got the nerve up and did the big old, I'm going to ask you out. So I asked her out. She said yes. So we went on a date. Man, that was great. Took her for cashew chicken. There's nothing better than cashew chicken. She still hates it to this day. But for me, it's wonderful. Took her to a wonderful Chinese restaurant. Matter of fact, it was so good. The last time I was there this year, they weren't open because they had so many deficiencies in the kitchen that they closed the place down. But anyways, it was a great place. Great memories. But I was so excited. You know, you're young, you're dumb. And you take them out, you have cashew chicken trying to impress her. Don't do that. Go with lobster or steak, guys. Cashew doesn't work. But anyways. Well, then we decided to, you know, date a little bit more. Well, before this, though, I had a real good friend. His name was Don. And Don and I pretty much did everything together. Dad knows. I mean, Don just practically lived at our house. We went to school together. I refused a room with him. I thought I'd kill him. But anyways, regardless of that, he was in my room all the time. I mean, this was the guy that literally lived in my room. I don't exaggerate. Matter of fact, he would get up early, get dressed, come into my room and wait for me to get dressed to go to school. Okay? Matter of fact, I got so tired of that one day, while he fell asleep in my reclining chair, I wrote 666 on his forehead. I don't know why. A little honorary streak was in me. You said, did he notice? Actually not. That was the fun part. Now, when you're a Bible college and you have 666 on your forehead, let me just help you. That sticks out pretty big. And everybody knows what that means at a Bible college. I'll never forget going into class. I am rolling laughing. He goes, am I okay? Is my fly down? What's going on? I mean, my hair's sticking up. And I'm like, no, you're fine. You're fine. We get into class. And I mean, people are laughing. And sure enough, first class, the largest class, like 130 people in the class. I mean, people are rolling. Finally, he says, I'm going to go check this out. Goes to the bathroom and looks at the mirror. All we hear from a distance is, ah! I got people at lunch coming up to me going, hey, does he notice yet? Does he notice yet? I'm like, yeah, he does. And I have to hide out for the rest of my life. But anyways, I took him a little bit to get it off being a permanent magic marker. But anyways, he finally did. Well, that was done. I mean, we did everything. We had a lot of fun. I mean, man. We played jokes on each other constantly. I mean, we were in the ministry together. We served together. We did everything together. But there was a problem. He wasn't as cute as Brenda. See, we used to go out and we'd go out on Sunday nights and do things. We'd go with the group. We'd go play video games. We'd do stuff. But suddenly I started getting attracted to this little blonde. And as I got attracted to the little blonde, I wanted to spend less time with him and more time with her. He didn't understand that. I don't know how he missed that, trust me, but he didn't understand that. I remember sitting Don down saying, Don, listen, we're still friends, but guess what? I really like this girl. And two's a team, three's a crowd. And listen, I tell you what, I remember particularly one night after talking to him, I said, Don, I'm going to take Brenda out on a date. And I worked Monday through Friday, literally. I was in school at 7:30, and I got out of class about noon, 8, studied till 4, was at work from 4 to about 1 o'clock every single day. Every other Saturday, I worked on Saturday. So there wasn't a lot of time. So bottom line is if we went out, it was a Saturday night or Sunday after church. So it's a Sunday after church, and I said, Don, listen, we'll take you through a drive-thru. I'll get you something. I'll take you and drop you back off at the dorm. He goes, why? Well, I'd like to just have some alone time to talk to Brenda alone. Why? I like her a lot. Why? She's prettier and smells better than you. He got mad. No, I not mean just a little upset. He got mad. Fine. Just forget it. Just take me back to the dorm. Well, Don, we don't mind going through the drive-thru, but I'd like to have some time where just her and I talk and get to know each other instead of her, I, and you. He's never got it. I took him back to the dorm. And from that point on, our relationship changed. I mean, Don literally was livid. If Brenda came around, he didn't want to be around. I mean, he wanted nothing to do with her. And I had to make a choice. It was either her or him. Now listen, Don was a good guy. Seriously, Don wasn't some wicked guy that ran out, bad influence, bad friend. But I'm like, life with a beautiful blonde or Don? It wasn't a real hard choice for me, I'm going to tell you right now. Obviously, I chose Brenda. You picked up on that story because she's sitting right here. So I chose her, and to this day, I have zero contact with Don. But not because I wanted to. But Don literally came to a point he couldn't understand that relationship. Now, I'm hoping over time he's grown and he's realized that. But in that, there was such a terrible strain that this good friendship that I developed had to be totally cut off in order for a better relationship to develop. Now, time has proven I made a good choice. She's still a lot cuter than Don is, I'm pretty sure. Okay? But you know what? I thought about that and I looked at this story. And here's Martha and Mary. Martha's a good person. Mary's a good person. Martha's doing really good things, but Mary's doing the best. And Mary decided to abandon something that was really good and even appropriate to do for something that was better. And that was a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what the Christian life is all about, folks? It's not about all the events that we do. It's not about all the fellowships. It's not about the Christmas party on Friday. It's not about coming to church and what's the songs like. And I wonder if we'll see somebody we know. No, you know what it's about? A relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be religious. You can be in church doing all the things, living for God and really missing out on the Christian life. You can be busy with religious things and miss the whole point. What? A relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, how do I get that? Get into the Word. Get on your knees. Pray, read, pray, read, pray, read. Why? And develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're doing everything else right, like Martha was, and you're doing all the actions that you know you ought to be doing, but you're not getting close to God and intimate with Him and learning about Him personally, I'm telling you, you're missing it. And you're missing it. You're going to be depressed. You're going to get discouraged. You're not going to understand. You're going to be in the middle of a church where God's doing great things, and you're not even going to enjoy it. And you're going to think it's everybody else's problem. Trust me. You're going to look and blame it on everybody else when the real problem is this. The real problem is Martha was standing in the presence of Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the savior of the world. And all she was concerned about is, I need help making the meal. Mary caught on and said, do you know who's in our front room? The savior of the world. I think we can eat an hour late today. Matter of fact, we could probably skip a meal just to hear his words. And it would be okay. I want to ask you today, what's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you living the Christian life, but really missing out on it? See, when I read this book, the Bible says that I want to give you life, John chapter 10, and that more abundantly. I see a Christian life supposed to be enjoyable. I see a Christian life that's supposed to be rich and full of peace. And I see so many that are missing it because we're majoring on the mess instead of the master. And let me help you. The mess will be there until the world is destroyed. If you're hoping the mess goes away, let it go. Whatever problems you have right now will probably be solved by January. And you will have new ones. Why? Because you live in a wicked world. What am I going to do? Develop a relationship with the Master.
and the mess won't matter. Because no matter what mess you're going through, you'll be strong enough to go through it. And if you don't, you might be a really good person, surrounded with a lot of good things, but you're not really enjoying life. Oh, you're living. You're living. But you're not living the life that God wanted you to have. And what a shame when all you had to do is just stop and say, you know what? God, I want you. I want a relationship with you. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this relationship that we see starting with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Lord, as we look at Martha and Mary today, Lord, we see good God.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City or the area, we invite you to stop by and visit us. We're just 1 mile north of Ponca at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.